I believe that God wants to do something this month in our life to really help us. You realize that winter is becomes a dormant season for all the plants around us, and that's why God created that, so it could fold in for the year, take a break, and revamp up and get ready to take off for next year. And so we're in that kind of a season right now, and I think in our Christian walk sometimes, how many also realize that you face seasons? There's seasons that things happen. There's times and seasons, and if we're not careful, those times and seasons can throw us off, but we're not going to let that happen this year, amen? As it was mentioned by Katie, is that, you know, this season, although it is maybe, you know, one of the more glorious seasons, I mean, even trying to put it around your mind that God in heaven would come down to earth, not only in the form of a human, but in the form of an infant for you and I. I mean, think about it. It would be like you trying to shrink yourself down and become an ant. Actually, it's even bigger than that, isn't it? Much bigger. But it's critical for us to understand that there are times and seasons. And I want to just challenge us to make this season, because it can be a challenging season for many. There's lots of emotions that are released around, really even around us. You know, you may not even be having a struggle, but sometimes you're around enough people that are having struggles that it's like it almost jumps on top of you and you walk away wondering, what in the world happened? You know, well, it was something that somebody else maybe was going through that was maybe affecting you just by their words, by their attitudes, and so forth. And so as we start this month, how many can guess what the theme of this month is going to be? Whoa, there we go. All right. How many think that's a good-looking sign? Isn't that an awesome sign? That's an awesome sign. Don Atwell actually cuts those things out. Can you believe that? It's just absolutely phenomenal how well she can do that. If you want to see a great room almost as great as ours, go to the Kids Rock after the service. And look at what it looks like. I mean, there's 4-foot snowflakes hanging from the ceiling. I mean, this is crazy. Ornaments this big around. It's totally awesome. And so you should peek at that on the way out. I'd take you on a tour, but it would probably distract their class completely. Our key verse for December that I hope by the end of this month you have it locked into your memory, into your mind, enough to where it will begin to change your spirit and begin to change something about you. Because again, I think the theme this month is going to be something that can be life-changing for us. And believe me, I think we all need it. I need it. I need some life change every now and then. It was written, the verse that we are going to look at was written at a time which was the worst time in one of the greatest kings' lives ever. It was a season and a time where King David, maybe, I don't know if this is a California term or not. It's a sunshine. I'm just telling you, it's getting me to think about California here. You jump out of the frying pan and into the... Okay, so you guys are familiar with that. Whew, good. But this is where King David's at. He's going to jump out of the frying pan, but unfortunately, he's going to land in the fire. It's a season when King Saul, as most of you would know, King Saul is not real happy with David. He's probably jealous of him, and so he decides that he's going to kill him. And so he pursues David constantly just to kill him. He's just going to try to kill him. And David is kind of running around. Fortunately, David, through God's providence, becomes friends with his son, Jonathan. There's a story, Jonathan, David. They become friends. That was Saul's father. And so probably out of jealousy, because if you remember in Samuel, it talks about they were singing this song, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so something's raging inside of this King Saul. David is called up to be the king. He's anointed to be the king at this point, but yet Saul is still the king. And because David had a heart after God, he wasn't intimidated. He wasn't fearful. He was confident in who he was and what he was called to do. He was not going to kill Saul. And he made that decision, and he decided, I'm not going to kill him. Because everybody kept asking him, why don't you kill him? And he even had an opportunity where he could have just done him in. But he chose not to because he trusted the Lord. He trusted God. And even though, again, Saul was continually chasing after him, he did not retaliate and try to kill him, even knowing that he would step right into being the king. So now King David, after being chased around a bit, decides to run. And so he runs off to a city called Gath. And there he's hanging around for a bit, but somebody in the city recognizes him. And you can read this story in 1 Samuel, I think 20, 21, 22. Somebody in the city recognizes him. They say, hey, aren't you King David? Aren't you the one that King Saul, Mr. Head and Shoulders, has been trying to catch and kill? Probably thinking maybe there's a reward going on here. Something good could happen. And so David, what David does, and we might think this is totally crazy, and it actually is, but maybe not so crazy if he's like us, is David decides that he's going to act like a madman. So he literally starts slobbering. He starts acting like a total madman. And so after being questioned in the city for a little bit, he started acting like a madman. So they thought, well, this couldn't be David. This couldn't be him. And again, you can read the story. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read that entire story. But he acts like a madman, but realizes that somebody has recognized him. He's probably going to be in trouble. So from Gath, he runs off and he goes to a cave. And he moves into a cave, and that cave is called the Cave of Adullam. And many of you would have heard that term. It's a place where he ran off and he hid and he was by himself. Well, within the confines of the cave, David being a musician and a songwriter, and you know, he wrote most of Psalms, he starts singing. Writing and singing the psalm that we're going to focus on this morning. And that psalm, in the context of, I think, is very important for us to catch this. It's Psalms 34. Psalms 34. So if you could turn your Bibles there, let's take a look at this. There's three or four verses that we want to look at. Keep in mind, he's hiding in a cave by himself potentially at this point until God sends him his family, and then God sends a total of, I think it's 400 men. Remember, he had a 400-man army. And then he comes out later on and takes his rightful place. King Saul dies, gets killed, and so he becomes the greatest king ever. But I think it's interesting to read this psalm, understanding that it was written in the Cave of Adullam, in the context of a man who just became fearful, had right morals, good guy, good heart, wasn't going to kill King Saul until he was going to let God do that. But even though he was a king, he could have. He flees and ends up acting completely crazy, making a decision to act crazy. Now, I don't know about you, but when you come to your senses after doing something like that, how many are you going to feel kind of funny? You're going to be kind of ashamed. You're going to be like, oh, what did I do that for? How many have ever done something like that? It's like maybe not drooled, but you know what I mean. You know, you did something, and instead of handling it properly, you run off and you did something else only to find out, oh, why did I do that? Why did I do it that way? And this is where he's at. And so now he's in this cave, and as far as we know, he's still by himself before he writes this. And let's read it together. Let's look at it. And again, this is our theme for the month. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad, And verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. This is actually a song we used to sing. How many remember the song that used to go with that? And, you know, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Right? I sought the Lord and I found him, and he delivered me from all of my fears. And I'm believing that even this morning as we kick this thing off, that, you know, maybe there's some areas in your life right now that you've been kind of running from, or maybe fearful of, or challenged by, that maybe if we could just capture the heart and spirit of what David is trying to communicate to us when he finally comes back to his real senses, that we might grab a hold of this. And so let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that your word would penetrate our heart, God. Father, we want to be those that do magnify you. We want to understand it. We want to walk in it. Father, we want to live in it. We want to allow your truth this morning to get a hold of our heart and spirit, that, Lord, we would live even a bit more of a transformed life by the renewing of our minds and by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. If there's one thing that we do see throughout the scriptures is that's very clear, is that we were in part, created to magnify the Lord and to lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all people to myself. And so part of our walk, part of who we are as believers, once we become born again, we are now to begin to magnify who the Lord is and to begin to let the world see that. And as we read through the verses in Psalms 34, we can see that very clear. And when we talk about the term magnify, the word literally means to make bigger. Now, we know, obviously, that we can't make God any bigger than he is, right? And so we're not talking about that particular definition. That's actually a definition that would come about for what would be a magnifying glass. When you put a magnifying glass on something, it makes it, what, bigger, right? Now, did the letters change their size? Didn't, did it? No, they stayed the same. They were still the same, but that magnifying glass made them larger. It's not the type of magnifying that David is referring to here. The type of magnifying he's referring to here is, and actually, let me just show you what a magnifying glass does. How many know what that cute little creature is? It was the biggest awakening when I got to Kansas, and I thought, well, we're going to mow up there on the hill. Some of you will remember, we mowed up on the hill for the first time in 100 years, which enlivened every chigger that was up there. And we went up there, and we had our party. I'm just telling you, we had the party, but everybody went home with bloody legs. I had bloody legs from these chiggers. And the funny thing is you can't see them, but look at how wretched they look underneath the magnifying glass. I mean, that'd make you afraid if that thing come walking in the building now, wouldn't it? Go to the next one. Yeah, there's a friendly guy. And chiggers, can you see chiggers when they're on you? Yeah, I've never seen one, only the effects of them. The ticks you can catch, but they're just kind of wretched looking too. And that's under a magnifying glass there. And so a magnifying glass simply is going to make something bigger in terms of the way we see it, but not in the size itself does not change. Now let me just say this. Maybe sometimes the enemy puts a magnifying glass or a microscope over issues that we face. And all of a sudden, it blows up like this. And it looks like have you ever woke up, or maybe just during the day? Usually sometimes for me it's just waking up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden you just feel this, wow, I am afraid of something. Okay, it's just this fear comes, but the enemy magnifies something, and if you track it down, you'll usually find it that fear came from a thought that you had. And that thought got in there, and the enemy just decided, okay, this will be a good time. I think I'll hold a magnifying glass over that. And boom, now all of a sudden, that's all you see. It's the biggest thing in the world. How many know what I'm talking about? It just happens. And so I think this is what we, you know, the enemy probably uses a magnifying glass, but the Lord wants us, when we think about this whole term, magnify the Lord with us and let us exalt his name together. We know we can't make him any bigger, but what it does mean, a telescope means this: it makes something that may seem small or insignificant appear to be as great as it really is. Excuse me, that's a telescope does that. How many know when you look up into the stars, you see a lot of stars? How many remember that those stars, most of them, the majority, from my understanding, if I'm wrong, if you're a teacher here, you can correct me quietly after the service. No, you can just email me instead, okay? It's patricia@hopealive.com. But most of the stars that we look up and they look like this are actually larger than the Earth itself. Can I sit the next slide? How many can find the Earth in this picture? I mean, when you think about it, we are very small. But with a telescope, we begin to realize all this. We begin to see, actually with that Hubble telescope, you begin to see how amazingly big everything is around us. This is the magnify that the Lord's talking about. I want you to see God magnified in your eyes, to understand who he really is and how big he really is. And that's why the prophet Jeremiah could boldly say, "For with God, nothing is too difficult, and all things are possible through Christ." Come on, amen? That's what it says. But yet, if we shrink God down, then we may have a struggle believing that, other than just maybe partially in our minds, oh, I can quote it, and so forth. But I believe what God wants us to do is to begin to be telescope Christians, to where every situation that we see, everything that we face in life, the first thing we see after seeing that is that we see how big God really is. Oh, there should have been a jump and shout on that. Come on, we all have troubles. We all have struggles. The Bible's very clear that everybody faces challenges. Christianity is not about not facing challenges, right? Christianity is about having a God that's bigger than your challenge and believing and trusting in him. He knows all things, and he cares about all things, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he wants to work on your behalf. But see, if we draw back, if we shrink back when we see the size of that chigger and what it really looks like, I couldn't find the really ugly picture I saw when I first made the mistake and moved here and looked at it online. I was like, I'm going home, back home. I mean, there's some ugly pictures of these critters when they really blow up. But when we begin to see who God really is, I believe it allows us and our perspective to be clear, unfearful, unwavering in what? Our faith. And when we're unwavering in our faith, we don't have to fear anything. For with God, nothing is too difficult. So we have two types of magnifying, one that makes small things look bigger and the other that makes big things look as big as they really are. Like I say, you can look into the heavens and the stars look like that till you pull off the Hubble telescope. And I'm sure that you've all seen some of the pictures that they've come up with, NASA and so forth. It's absolutely phenomenal. We've just totally missed it, haven't we? In terms of really going, wow, God, you are so amazing. And everything's so perfectly structured and so perfectly in order that it's absolutely amazing. There's nothing and there's nobody that's superior to who God is. When we magnify the Lord, we're not making him any bigger than he is. We're just clarifying how big he is to ourselves. We're beginning to stop and say, wait a minute, I just got a glance of a magnifying glass instead of the telescope. I just got a glance of the wrong thing. Now I've got to see the right thing. Because again, fear causes us to draw back. It causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do, etc. It causes us, like David, you know, he went out. Can you imagine? He's drooling and the whole thing, acting crazy. And he's an anointed king. He's the one that, remember, he had already killed the lion, the bear, and Goliath. And now he's doing this. It's just, it's amazing. I say that and I bring that out because I think we're prone to the same thing if we're not careful. We just wake up one morning and we find ourselves accidentally, because we didn't go to the telescope, we ended up looking at the magnifying glass. And God says, I want to change that. That's why it's critical that we get into the Bible and stay in it. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 32 says this here. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and its hooves. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. You see, what happens is that when they were sacrificing animals in the Old Testament, that's why in the New Testament it said none of that stuff could have ever even come close to doing the job, because all of that was man's work, him trying to do his thing to please God. But in fact, the only thing that pleases God is a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. It's somebody that really sees him for who he is and trusts in him with all of their heart and all of their life. Psalm 70 and verse 4, let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually. How often? What are they supposed to do? They're supposed to say continually. What are they supposed to say? He's helping us out. He's working with us here. The Lord be magnified. The Lord be magnified. And as I've been going through this and looking at this and considering this and just reading a ton of scriptures on this and going through the scriptures over and over and over, what I began to realize is that there is probably more important that we say more than what we do now. We have to begin to speak forth of God's goodness and God's glory. But I will say this, I know when I'm looking through the magnifying glass instead of the telescope, then I'm generally not saying, God, you're so wonderful. No, because I'm seeing my problem this big. I'm not magnifying him. I'm not saying, Lord, you are magnified. But this is what we see through over and over throughout the scriptures, and in particular in the Psalms, where David is saying, listen, you know, I want you to magnify God. I want you to say, God be magnified. I want you to tell yourself. I want you to stir your heart up. I want to put within you, I want to build in with you a constant 24/7 telescope that never allows the enemy to come in and to take your mind off into another direction that it shouldn't go. But I want you to see God for who he is, because when we see him for who he is, then we can come back and we can understand where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. How else do we even begin to believe that? Let's look again at Psalms 34 for just a moment. Let me just read through this particular passage. Psalms 34, let's look at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I think that, you know, singing throughout the day is an amazing thing for us to do, especially as unto the Lord, worship unto the Lord, singing in the shower and singing in the car, and singing wherever you're at, you know, and singing in the sanctuary. The singing thing, there's something connected to that in our spirit person that is able to begin to magnify the Lord. I don't know for sure, but I think if you look at the order of things and you look at the way the enemy works, whenever you hear songs on the radio, most generally those songs, they start out by talking about the physical, don't they? And then they get to the emotional. And they never probably make it to the spirit, but they start with that, you know? And even in the order of songs in the world, that's what we see. But in the kingdom, it's the opposite. It's to start with the spirit. So by the time you get to the rest of it, it's pure, and it's before the Lord pure. and it's upright and it's right. And God's saying, I want you to bless me continually. I want you to do it at all times. Let praise continually be in my mouth. So I just encourage us as we look at this psalm and we look at a man who's given us some prophetic insight after going through a very challenging time. His word is, just bless the Lord. Get in the habit of blessing the Lord. It's better to overdo it than to underdo it, I would say. Amen? And really for me, as I pondered this, I thought, wow, when do I not do that? Well, when I'm discouraged. Again, when I'm looking through that, you know, magnifying glass. Yeah, it's just, I have to, but boy, any time that I break out into singing and blessing him, all of a sudden I feel spirit wake up and myself come alive. Verse 2, my soul shall what? Make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now here's verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. My question to you today is, what do you fear? What are you overwhelmed with? What do you think that he wants to deliver you from? What aspect of your life would you say that the Lord would need to come in and just take you to the next level? And this is different probably for every person in this room. Every person in this room is facing something different. And yet I believe just what he's saying by seeking the Lord, and he just gave us the first instructions, and he crowns it off with this, I sought the Lord, and he did hear me. And what did he do? He completely delivered me from all of my fears. And again, Psalms 69 and verse 30, I think, is a key element to this. 69 and verse 30, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. I'll magnify God with thanksgiving. And as I pondered through, again, these scriptures, I believe that one of the things that we can do is to begin to magnify God. We can do it in singing, according to these verses, and we can also do it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. How many know it's really hard to give thanks when you don't feel like it? Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, you know, you're just not thankful for anything. Everything's just, you slip into a I deserve it mode. If you're not a thankful person, then you're probably in an I deserve it mode or I magnify me mode. You know, that's the kind of the opposite there. If thanksgiving isn't coming out of our words, if it's hard for us to find a place for that, can I just suggest this, okay? Because everybody's different. If you're not giving thanks, you have potentially got your eye on the magnifying glass. And so it makes it very difficult for thanksgiving to spring out of your heart. Because that's where he wants it. That's what he wants to have happen. He doesn't want it to be fake, right? He doesn't want it to be unreal. But if I can see myself and I'm not in that position, and that's going to be, I know you guys love homework in church. That's going to be our homework this week. Are you going to be willing to magnify the Lord with thanksgiving? In other words, I'm going to look for opportunities to be thankful. And I'm going to express those opportunities. Some of us, it could be at home. We just take for granted everything that's done. And we just go home and I guess it's done. Some of it could be at work where somebody works hard to help you out. But there's never a thanksgiving. Never a thanksgiving. But God wants us, because he said the humble will hear and be glad. I believe he's actually speaking of the people around us catching and picking up on his spirit and us magnifying him with thanksgiving. When was the last time you said to an unsaved person, okay, when was the last time you said to an unsaved person, I am so thankful for God for this? See what I'm saying? And this stuff is, again, this is not a condemnation. I have been run through the ringer on this myself for the last 3 weeks looking at it. So it's not a condemnation, but I believe it's a checkpoint this year. If we can get a hold of some of the principles that we're going to look at each Sunday, It can change the way we finish this year and change the start. And the Bible says that the humble will hear and they will be glad. There's only one way to be glad in this world, right? And that's to become born again. And how awesome is that when people begin to see our lives and begin to taste and see that God is good because they begin to understand who God is through our lives. Does that make sense? So let me read through this psalm one more time and we'll wrap it up. I will bless the Lord. Actually, we have that up there. Could you just stand with me? Let's read this together. We're going to, again, all month, I am seeing in my own mind lives changed through this month before we wrap it up in such a way that we would actually see some great deliverances, whether it be physical healings, whether it be emotional healing, whatever it might be, we believe His Word. So let's read this together. Can you guys see that up there pretty good? All right, let's do this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. I sought the Lord, He heard me, and He delivered me. I tell you what, I need a few deliverances myself. I'm just going to be honest with you all. Anybody else in this room can say, yeah, I could use some. Whatever it might be, impatience, anger, you know, whatever it might be. God is just taking His bride. He's perfecting His bride. He's beautifying His bride. Why? Because His bride is going to magnify Him and be ready for the return of Jesus Christ when He comes, and it could be sooner than we think. So let's get ready. Amen? Let's be ready. Lift up your hands if you would. Father, we lift our hands now in a surrender to You. We ask, Father, that You would just touch our hearts this month. This is to be the greatest month of the year, Father, that we would celebrate the birth of Jesus, coming to earth and doing what You did for us. And God, we want to walk through this month with joyfulness, thankfulness. We want to walk through this month, God, and really make sure that by the end of this month, more people around us know You because we have magnified You before them than ever before. And You said, God, that the humble would hear it and they would be glad. So help us to say continually, God, You're magnified. God, You're magnified. God, You're magnified in our situation. God, I pray that this week, as we are walking through the week, each one of us, I pray, Father, that, Lord, if we start looking at a magnifying glass, that You would grab our attention and put us in the eye of the telescope, that we could see how great and big and mighty our God really is, Father, and we just thank You for that, and we just thank You for the blessings of God that make rich and had no sorrow to it. You are a good God and a loving God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.